Welcome to Behold and Become, a podcast about faith with me, Robert Black. Welcome to episode 141 of Behold and Become as we continue this series on Christian heresies. In this episode, we're going to consider three heresies that are all fairly modern and have to do with God being less than God. If our starting point in orthodoxy is that God is the being, and I realize that the problem with referring to God as a being or a thing or an entity, but what I mean is that God is not merely the sum of the universe or an idea or the name for the laws of physics and stuff like that, but rather that God has what we would understand as a mind that is intentional, and that God has aseity, meaning that God's existence or being is self-derived and not dependent on anything else. That's what I mean by being, right? So in that sense, God is a being who created all things, who is actively involved with and invested in creation, then the heresies that we're going to consider today are an affront to that sort of God, the God who is. The first of these heresies is called moralistic therapeutic deism, a term coined in 2005 by Christian Smith and Melina Denton in a book about the spiritual lives of teenagers. Now, the moralistic, that means that God wants us to be good, not bad. Therapeutic means that life is about being happy and content, and that God is what enables us, through our good behavior in particular, to live a good life. And deism is about a God who really does not get involved with the affairs of our lives. Essentially, it's about a God who serves us, a God who created things, but more or less then just leaves everything to run on their own without divine intervention or further investment. Anytime religion is focused on what we do instead of what God has done in Jesus Christ, well, then that's moralism, right? Because it's telling us about what we're supposed to do. And a lot of churches promote the idea of flourishing and reaping the rewards of faith. Well, that's the therapeutic part, right? Where faith is just a tool that we use, like a therapy, to get a better life. Something like a good massage therapist or a diversified stock portfolio, a good hobby. Well, we just sprinkle in a little religion as well. So that's the therapeutic part. And deism, well, that runs rampant today, right? When people question the efficacy of prayers, for example, that's a deist perspective. Moralistic therapeutic deism may well be the operative form of faith in many church circles today. Another heresy is compartmentalism, which is related to the therapeutic that we just considered. Compartmentalism essentially says that religion deals with the spiritual realm of our lives, but it has nothing to do with things like geopolitics, or civics, or economics, or bioethics, or race relations, or parenting, or romantic relationships, or business practices, or technology, or really anything else. Now, clearly, this is a heresy because it reduces God to being a deity with a very particular and limited purview, sort of like how Poseidon was seen as the god of the seas, while we say that God is in charge of what happens at church, and maybe life after death, but that's all. Now, clearly, that heresy is found all over the place. It's one of the reasons why so many Christians are accused of being hypocrites, right? We claim one thing, but then we act differently in most of the spheres of our lives. Jesus is Lord, not just of Sunday morning, but of all things. The final heresy that I want to just mention is sort of a sub-heresy of this previous one. It's called the separation of church and state. Now, as you might know, that phrase is never used in the U.S. Constitution, and even if it were, it would not be there for the benefit of the church. The Constitution does have what's often called the Establishment Clause, which says that the United States cannot establish an official religion or endorse one system of belief over another. But it says nothing about the role that a church can have in political discourse or life. It says nothing about the ability of an individual to have religious beliefs and even act on them. However, too many people interpret the separation of church and state to say, you know, the church just needs to mind its own business, right? Separation of church and state, as far as a constitutional idea, it's actually not a bad one. But in reality, for the church, it functions as one of Satan's most successful branding messages. Because we have to remember that all of the biblical prophets deal with what we would call politics. That is how we arrange our common life in community, how we treat the poor, how we deal with other nations, how we structure our economy. We call these things political, and they are, and that's what the biblical prophets were talking about. And certainly Jesus engaged with the political officials of his day. He talked about these issues, but he was also tried as an enemy of the state, executed by the Romans, not the Jews. To say that Christianity has nothing to do with politics or society, it's not only wrong, but it is actually heresy, because it is to deny the part of the creed that says that Jesus was crucified under Pontius Pilate. It doesn't get much more political than that. Clearly, the church and the state cannot be separated to have, if we're going to have a Lord of all creation. Now, the trick to this, of course, is to decide whose application of the faith gets applied to politics. Now, again, here I would defer to that definition of orthodoxy that I put forth in the first episode in this series, that it revolves around the great commandment to love God and love our neighbor. If we're doing that, loving God, loving neighbor, there should be no separation of church and state, because the church becomes a voice of morality for the state. But if we ignore love, well, then maybe a separation of church and state actually spares the state from the perversions of the church. But anytime you hear people say that they don't want to hear politics from the pulpit, you can just remind them that politics are in the creed. And if they want a compartmentalized religion, one that functions as a moralistic, therapeutic deism, well, they can find something lesser than the Lord of all things. But either Jesus Christ is Lord, or he's not. There's no having it both ways on this one. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you, and remain with you forever. Amen.